Today we're going to talk about joy, the fear of joy in particular. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read 7 through 12, the fear of joy. And we've titled this series, Fear Not, which is one of the themes and the phrases that we hear over and over again in the gospel accounts of Jesus' advent, his arrival here into our world. Fear not. The fear of joy. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening up their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is God's word. What are some things that bring joy into your lives? For me, it's ice cream. Any ice cream lovers out there? I don't know what flavor. Which one would you pick? I'll take them all and then some. There are some things in life that are just meant to bring joy. A smile to your face. A warm feeling to your bones. And ice cream. Do you guys eat ice cream in the winter too? Is that okay to do? Definitely does that. Or how about your pet dog, a puppy? Which one do you want? Oh my gosh, all of them? Yes, and then some. God has given us the gift of beautiful creatures, like whether you're a dog lover or a cat lover or whatever kind of pet that you may have, they bring such joy and comfort. And I was even snuggling with my dog, Lily, this morning as I was preparing to come out here for church. And so even our pets can bring such joy. And recently, we've been really struggling with our son, really being addicted to his screens. And it's been frustrating, and his personality changes when he's playing his games and spending hours and hours. I know we're not the best parents. We've struggled and tried. And then, as we've worked really hard for our youngest son, James, to get him off that screen and to see him starting to read a little bit, if you want to get to that next picture there, Kathy posted this as she saw James more recently get off his screen more and finally find a love for books and reading. And that brings such joy to our hearts when we see our loved ones, our family members doing well, thriving, living a healthy life. And so when family members are taking a turn for the better, like getting off their screens and reading an actual physical book, we are just thrilled. And all of us, if I were to open up the mic again and do a sharing Sunday, could share your own lists of things that bring great joy into our lives. And I believe that we have been created to seek for joy in our lives, no matter where we come from, how long we have lived. Joy is one of the essential characteristics of the human heart and spirit, and all people are looking for it, whether you live here or on the far side of the world. But for a lot of us who have experienced some element of joy, whether it's in your kids or your loved ones, your spouse, your pet dog or cat, or your love for ice cream, or other things. Because this world is broken, because things are not always the way that they should be, as God originally designed and created our world, we have discovered the very painful experience of having our joy taken away. And when joy is taken away from our lives, it can be some of the most painful experiences and disappointment of our lives. And so thus the title, The Fear of Joy. When we experience joy in our lives for whatever it might be, and it gets taken away somehow, we often guard our hearts from ever experiencing joy again for fear of that pain when we experience the loss of that joy. But that is not how God desires for us to be or to live our lives. And as we think about Jesus' impact in the lives of even the account that we just read of this incredible joy that so filled these far travelers' hearts to bring their gifts and to worship, though they may not have fully understood who exactly Jesus was, there was something about his arrival and presence into their lives that brought a kind of joy that I believe they had been longing for all their lives. Sometimes in our lives we make bad choices. We live with regrets. We sometimes unintentionally, hopefully, have hurt and wounded others by our choices, by our words, and by our actions. And because of that, we live with a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And because of that, we often live our lives punishing ourselves, thinking that because I did this in my past, or I hurt someone, or I have this deep regret, or I messed up in a certain way, or a certain time in my life, or in my past, that I really don't deserve joy. And we block our hearts because we feel that we're bad. And because of one mistake, one poor decision, and who of us haven't made something like that in our lives, we feel that we don't deserve to be joyful. But that is contrary to the heart of God, who has created us to experience transforming joy in our lives. But there are many of us here that because of those past mistakes, we feel that we don't deserve to be joyful, and we close our hearts. And some of us, frankly, have a very unbiblical view of joy. We kind of see it as something for certain people that they might need, a crutch in their life. They're weaker people. We see it in our culture all the time. Whether you are part of this generation that knew actors like John Wayne, James Dean, or Clint Eastwood, any of you guys know these guys? Or you're part of the generation like Rocky, Neo, you guys know the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or any of the Marvel superheroes. In our culture, you don't necessarily see the heroes of the culture and times seeking after joy in their lives. And so often we think that it's not something we really need. It's not something to be celebrated. I'm tough. I could do it. It's the American way, is it not? But that is not biblical. No matter what kind of messages we get from our cultural heroes or movie stars, God has designed us to crave and seek after joy in our lives. And I believe that the message of Advent, that Jesus came into our world, is that we can experience joy once again, a kind of joy that will never disappoint. And so first of all, this morning, and let's run through this quickly, joy is both the mark and the heart of the gospel. Luke 2:10, we read, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what great joy that will be for all the people. With all the encouragement to not be afraid, do not fear, you see right along with it an exuberant declaration of joy as Jesus arrives into our world. We see this theme throughout the scriptures. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Whether this encourages you or offends you, Jesus saw himself as the source of ultimate and everlasting life-changing joy. In a way that I've not thought of, as I was preparing this message, Jesus himself was one who was the most joyful being of all. Dave Matthes wrote this reflection on Advent and Jesus, and he wrote this: the surprising testimony of the Gospels is that Jesus was a man of unparalleled and unshakable joy. Jesus experienced deep habitual joy. Jesus is the happiest being in the universe. As human, he is the most truly joyful, satisfied soul who has ever lived, so satisfied that he embraced the greatest anguish. I've not often thought of Jesus like that. We worship him, we follow him, we listen to his teachings, but to picture Jesus as the most joyful being and man who ever lived, the Lord of all, we don't often equate that. But here we have it, a reality, an emotion, a power declared as Jesus arrives into our world. And all those that truly do encounter him always experience this kind of life-transforming joy. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. When we come to know him, when he truly is our best friend, our Savior and King, we experience a kind of joy that transcends even the deepest and darkest pains and disappointments of our lives. And Peter puts that challenge so well. Even though you've not physically seen him, you love him. You're filled with an inexpressible joy, filled with glory. And so why is it, though, that often we, as Christ followers in the church, don't often experience and exhibit this kind of life-changing joy in our lives? Our kids look at us and we look more like grumpy than happy. What is going on? Why is that? Well, because I think we often seek happiness instead of what we call biblical joy. Frank Minerth and Paul Meyer says this. This was very convicting. Many people do choose happiness, but do not obtain it. The reason for this is that even though they choose to be happy, they seek for joy in the wrong places. They have everything this world has to offer except one thing: inner peace and joy. And no matter how many toys we collect in this life or how much power we exude in our positions and accomplishments of life, often we don't experience this joy in our lives, and this includes we who are Christ followers as well. People pursue happiness through the party, through the escape, through the high, through the fun, through the busyness, but one day it will come to a crashing end. In other words, our happiness and the way we seek to find this happiness will ultimately not fill us because we were designed for more. One pastor put it, pleasure is a means, not an end. Joy should be the greater end. So where are we? How are we doing during this Christmas season? Are we experiencing, are we exuding, are we living in the reality of a transforming joy that we see in all who encounter Christ, especially in his first advent? But Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how tough my life has been and is currently right now. Do you know the battles that I'm fighting in my emotions, my relationships, my health? I may not know everything, but the Gospels remind us that the reason why there is transforming joy in Jesus is because it's not just like a happy pill that we get high on him and then we go back home after we gather like this. But the Gospel reminds us the very fact that Jesus took on human flesh and blood born of a woman is that he enters into the depths of our sorrows. That is the critical step for us to experience his joy. He enters into our sorrows. Isaiah, the great prophet, reminds us in this ancient text, Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and what? Carried our sorrows. He not only entered into human flesh and blood, but he has chosen to enter into the depths of our sorrows. We need to let him in there. We need to acknowledge it. We need to invite him into our sorrows in order that he could begin to heal, redeem, and make us whole. Because unless that process, that reality happens, it is, yes, very difficult to experience the kind of joy that we are talking about. But once that invitation is given to Jesus, once we realize that in his experience of life and the cross, he understands our pain. He understands grief, loss, disappointment, and wounding. He is compassionate. He understands. And he enters into the depths of it with us. God with us. It is his words that he gives to his disciples who he knows will experience great pain at seeing his upcoming crucifixion, but the glorious resurrection coming around. John 16, 22, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. That is the unique aspect and truth of the Christian gospel. We don't just deny that we have sorrow and pain. We don't just ignore it. We don't just get tough on it, but we invite one who understands into it. And as he begins his process of healing and forgiving and redeeming, he doesn't just take our little joy and tries to magnify it, but this is so helpful for me. Fourthly, Jesus pours his very joy into us. We often think, I don't have a lot to be joyful about. Where is this joy going to come from? But Jesus, the most joyful being in the universe, pours his very joy that he has with the Father and the Spirit and desires to pour that into the depths of our being. That is a powerful truth of the gospel. He desires that the joy that he has be our very own, and he pours it into our hearts. The very joy of the Son of God given, gifted, poured into you and I. Even if you are not a very happy person in your personality or what have you, Jesus desires to pour his very joy into your life when he comes to live in your hearts. That was a powerful reminder to me that it wasn't me trying to, how do I get more joyful? But the very presence of Jesus who dwells within seeks to pour his joy into our lives so that we can enjoy him, his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, to experience the very joy of God in the person of Jesus. And so Gordon Fee, Bible teacher, says this, joy unmitigated, untrammeled joy is the distinctive mark of the believer in Jesus. Christian joy is not the temporal kind, which comes and goes with circumstances, but it is predicated on one's relationship with the Lord. In a world where fear is a much greater reality than joy, our privilege is to live out the gospel of true shalom. That is our reality. And this is your power over fear in your life. The longing for happiness, what we are calling joy, is a universal human longing. It is good, not sinful. And so when those who are just starting in their faith or still are not yet Christ followers are pursuing and trying to find that joy, that happiness outside of Jesus, we have to be understanding and not judgmental, because they are trying to find out, how can I experience this joy? They're just not yet doing it in Jesus. And we need to be understanding of that as we seek to share the love of Christ. Our encouragement should be, pursue it. Pursue with all your heart, with all your energy, to try to find happiness, or what we call joy. But know that the deepest, and John Piper puts it like this, the most enduring happiness is found only in God. Not from God, but in God. And that is where we land as we are reminded of the heart of the Christmas story. And often we who are Christ followers would do well to be reminded that this applies to us just the same. And so as we come to an end of our time, I want to ask you, which two pictures of Jesus represent how you understand him this Advent season? Would it be the Jesus on the left? I saw that! I'm watching you. Don't do bad things. Shame on you. I'm watching. Is it that? Or could you imagine a Jesus as the most joy-filled being in the universe, and that he desires to bring his joy into our lives? Advent, Christmas, is one of the greatest opportunities to ask ourselves the question of what brings us joy in our lives. And it invites us to look once again into the face of Jesus as being the greatest source of joy. Not one who is just trying to see if we do bad things and zap us with the lightning bolts, but rather to share his unmitigated, transforming joy that he has had with the Father and the Spirit for all eternity. He desires to pour that into our lives. It is unrelenting joy that is the cure for the fear and the anxiety of our lives. I invite you this Advent season to picture and to run to the Jesus who desires to bring transforming joy into your life. Let's pray together. Lord, there indeed are some of us here who are afraid to experience joy in our lives because of the joy that we once had but was somehow taken away. And so we have put a shell around our hearts to protect ourselves lest we get hurt once again. But Lord, I pray that as we have been reminded of today, that joy is one of the greatest needs of the human heart. And you desire for us to pursue joy in our lives, but do it by first coming to you. I pray that you might dismantle the protective barriers that we have built around our hearts because of maybe even guilt or shame. Or maybe we feel we're tougher and stronger than that we don't need that kind of joy. And we invite you, Lord, in a time of openness and vulnerability to enter into our sorrows and pain. Because you are the man of sorrows. You understand what it is like to experience some of the deepest wounds of the human life. I pray, Lord, that there's anyone here this morning that you are speaking to in their lives, that they might pray with me. Lord, I invite you into the depths of my sorrows and the shame of my pain, and I ask that you would begin your work of healing, forgiving, redeeming, and transforming. Lord, I've not been very joyful this past year, but thank you for that reminder today that it is in you that we experience the transforming joy that we are looking for. And so come, Lord Jesus, this Advent, remind us of this once again. And more than looking to lesser things in our lives that always leave us empty, be the joy giver that you desire to be. Pour out your joy into our hearts once again. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.